Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is May 18, 2017, and today we will be holding a work session on HB 5018, which is the Oregon State Library, and we will be holding a public hearing and possible work session on SB 87A relating to the quality management services for our information technology initiatives. But before we get started on that, I would like to defer over to Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Chair Manning. So I just wanted to declare a conflict of interest. So my son-in-law works for the Oregon State Library, and we're going to be voting on their budget today. So I just want to be transparent about that.
Thank you. Thank you. And before next, LFO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. So House Bill 5018 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Library. On OLIS, under the meeting materials, you'll find the LFO recommendation and work session presentation report. As summarized in the memo, Legislative Fiscal is recommending a total funds budget for the 2017-19 biennium of $15,994,651, 42 positions, and 40.04 FTE. This budget is a 5.3% increase from the 2015-17 legislatively approved budget and a 1.5% decrease from the 2017-19 current service level. This budget is funded at the co-chair's framework level. So if you move to the work session presentation report, there are two reduction packages from current service level. The first, Package 90 in the Library Development Division, makes $197,488,000 general fund reduction to the Ready to Read program. And the second reduction in the Government Research Services Division makes a $43,775,000 other funds expenditure limitation reduction to reduce rent supported with assessments to state agencies. And those would be the two
okay
packages recommended by Legislative Fiscal.
So I guess we'll begin with the work session on HB 5018, the Oregon State Library. And is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5018.
Representative Gomberg have moved the LFO recommendation for HB 5018 for consideration or discussions. Representative Marsh.
Thank you. Just to clarify, this motion includes the cut to the the reading program?
Ready to Read.
Ready to Read.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think this needs additional consideration. I think the Ready to Read program is invaluable. I think it's a bad message to communities to make this kind of cut, and I would ask that we defer this vote to see if we can further develop that particular budget.
Representative Marsh, thank you so much. I concur with you that any cuts to the Ready to Read program is something that we would not like to deal with. So, LFO, how do we proceed with this? We just have to just go ahead and move it out to the full Ways and Means Committee and.
Mr. Chair, we may want to recess and check.
Okay.
Because we may want to defer if we're not going to.
Mr. Chairman, could we stand at ease?
Mm-hmm. And we are at ease. We're recess.
Let me go check.
And we're back. So it looks like we're going to suspend the work session on HB 5018, Oregon State Lottery, and bring it back later. And we will go ahead and open up a public hearing work session on SB 57A relating to quality management.
Before Ms. Beidle leaves the room, Mr. Chair, I want to make sure that we know what we're doing. When you say later, people that don't know what's happening may think later 6 months from now. And I think in fairness to the librarian and the advocates that they ought to know that we're just reversing the order.
Absolutely. We are reversing the order. So we are now going to take, for clarifications, we are going to do a reverse. We're going to move HB 5018, Oregon State Library, to the end and move forward with the public hearing and work session on SB 87A relating to quality management services for information technology initiatives. So we'll open up that public hearing. And staff?
Yes, Chair Manning, members of the committee. Today we're having a public hearing on Senate Bill 87. Senate Bill 87 comes to the General Government Subcommittee with a due pass recommendation from the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability, and a due pass as amended recommendation from the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. At the highest level, Senate Bill 87 modifies Oregon's existing IT quality management services oversight statute in three simple ways. The measure allows the state CIO to relieve state contracting agencies and public corporations from the obligation to obtain quality management services when implementing IT initiatives with costs that exceed $5 million. Just to explain, provision simply gives the state CIO just some additional discretion. Currently, the oversight statute has a hard dollar threshold. Anything above requires that a third party be hired, whether or not the risk of the project or the characteristics of the project would deem it necessary. And so,
Mr. McSpagan, could you remind the committee what that cap is right now, or what that number is right
Certainly.
Now.
So the cap within the current oversight statute is $5 million.
Okay.
And so there's a hard requirement, regardless of the characteristics of the project, that anything above that dollar threshold, an agency or a public corporation is required to go out and contract and spend money in some cases where it may not be needed. And so that provision simply gives the state CIO some additional discretion. And then there are two other components of the
Let me just interrupt you for a process question. Do we anticipate that the state CIO is going to testify today?
We don't at this point, but he is in the room. He has come before the other two committees, Senate General Government and Accountability and the JLCNT, with testimony in the past, but certainly he could come up.
I just have a couple of questions.
Okay. Dr. Pettis, could you come up, have a seat, please?
I don't want to interrupt your presentation.
Certainly.
So please finish your presentation.
If I could just very briefly, there are two very small other adjustments. So while I talked about the discretion the state CIO would have if an initiative exceeds $5 million but may not need QA, he could waive that requirement. Conversely, the measure also affirms that the state CIO does have the authority to require quality management services be obtained for IT initiatives if the estimated cost falls below $5 million. There is some confusion with some state agencies, regardless of the explanations that have been given to them, the current state CIO policy on this issue. They've been confused as to whether or not the state CIO actually can compel them to have QA for initiatives that are below $5 million. And of course, he has that authority. This measure simply explicitly clarifies that. Finally, the measure, with that additional discretion that the state CIO would be given under the measure, the state CIO would need to submit an annual report to the legislative fiscal officer on any initiative that exceeds $5 million for which the QA services have been waived. Essentially, the legislative fiscal officer would continue to have transparent understanding of any waivers or exemptions that the state CIO might grant. Those are the three components of the bill, and certainly all of the materials related to the measure and the revenue impact statement, fiscal impact statement, and my recommendation are posted.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I guess having not heard the testimony in the substantive committees, I have a couple of curiosities. Why are we doing this? Is the first one. Are there demonstrated fiscal savings across the whole spectrum of agencies that are doing big projects? The second one is this changes the statute forever and ever, we don't know what the next run of CIOs is going to look like. And why, given our track record of bad performance on information technology contracts, would we want to make a quality assurance function more subjective rather than having a demand for another set of eyes to look at some of these contractors and the work that they're doing? I just don't understand the rationale for the bill.
Chair Manning, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Alex Pettit. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the State of Oregon. Chairman Manning, Senator Johnson, thank you for the questions. I'm going to answer them out of the order that they
That's
were
fine.
Presented because I think it makes more sense. One of the things that we're seeing with the evolution of IT is more and more services are becoming cloud-provided services or services on demand or what have you. Some of those services like Google Drive or Microsoft Office 365 and other things tend to be things that the way that we're calculating the value of those services can be thought of as a high value but really are very low risk in the way that they're used. So Office 365 is an example. It has a very large value to agencies. They spend a lot of money on licensing. It's an annual license fee that's going to be, if they move their services to the cloud, those things would not necessarily need a QA to okay. oversee them. We see a lot of services going that way. And so that allows so even though there is a fiscal value to those that exceeds $5 million, the risk of that is, I don't want to say negligible, but it's much, much lower than other. On the other hand, we do see projects. I mentioned before to this committee a project with the Veterans Administration I forget the word, but when you become the person that manages the finances for
conservator.
The conservatorship. Thank you. That was well under $5 million, but that was one where we felt the risk is very great to us, and so we felt that should be under oversight, and so we've asked that one be brought in. And there are other examples that I could provide. So what this does is this allows for that discretion or that assessment, risk assessment, be based upon something other than simply a dollar figure of the thing. And then finally is to the comment about future CIOs, I guess I would say that I would offer that they can only get better from here, ma'am.
Follow up.
A
couple other questions. In this scheme, are you going to be the arbiter personally, or is this delegated function into the rest of your agency? What I'm trying to figure out is, with the paucity of accountability that we have in this state for dismissing debt, for doing a variety of things, if a decision is made not to have a QA and the whole thing craters, I want to know who's responsible. And I don't want it to be one of these deals where, you know, I didn't know. I have had two occasions recently where agency heads had no clue what was happening below them. And I want to know, is it your name on the piece of paper that says, I made the decision not to engage a QA?
Chairman Manning, Senator Johnson, thank you for the question. Absolutely. It would have to be. And to that point, the reporting requirement, which is the third piece of this bill, holds me accountable for reporting that these were the exceptions given either way and that representing justifying why that is on an annual basis.
Okay, so there'll be a written record of the exceptions and the CIO's name will be attached to it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, two more questions. This is one that I have had with Mr. Nierman Representative Nierman, and I have to admit that I still have a flip phone, so that gives you the degree of sophistication for me. But it has been my observation, and perhaps validated by things that have occurred in other committees, that we seem to be cloud averse. Mm. And now we're doing a bill that seems to suggest that we like the cloud. I'm confused. Are we cloud averse, or I didn't hear the discussion. Maybe this is a question better put to Mr. Nierman.
Chairman Mang, Senator Johnson, we are not cloud averse, and we use many cloud services today. There are many agencies, many organizations that are using cloud for one thing or for something else. Many of these are being done, unfortunately, without the oversight or without the knowledge of the state CIO's office. So Dropbox, as an example, using offline storage, or we had one vendor, a cloud vendor, that approached me that told me that several agencies were using their services that I had no idea that they were using them, and asked me if I wanted to establish a contract with them. So
that's awkward
for me and them. So the direct answer to the question is we're certainly not cloud adverse. We would like greater controls around how we use it and when we use it and for what purpose that we use it. And we're hoping that as we evolve and mature, that we'll be able to do that in a better way than we have to this point.
I got one more. I promise. One more. How, if at all, is this bill related to any of the other bills with respect to the state CIO and the creation of a separate agency? Does one inexorably tie to the other, or are they standalone policy concepts?
Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, the direct answer is for your, and I believe you're speaking of Senate Bill 872. That was the one that's right now in JLCIMT.
Right, and there's SB 92, I believe, is the other bill.
Yes, ma'am. For SB 90, it does have a related, it is related to SB 90, and that SB 90 will be coming to this committee soon, I think as early as next week, Tuesday. We will be discussing, and the reason that that one's so important is because that, with the security piece, gives us the insight into what cloud services are being provided, because right now we back to the previous revelation of the awkward conversations that I've been forced to have, we're simply blind to it right now. So that will help us to know when we have things going on that perhaps we should be having some kind of oversight going on, because we don't know that they're actually in flight.
Chair Manning, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, just to put a finer point on the answer, and you can correct me if I've misstated, the bills themselves are standalone. Senate Bill 90 and this bill are related simply because they're related to oversight and the process by which projects are evaluated. But any one of the bills could pass on their own without the others passing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right.
Thank you for your latitude, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Seeing that there is no one that has signed up for to do public testimony, we will proceed here. So the question is recommendation.
Yes, Chair Manning, members of the committee, as I mentioned, we have posted all the materials related to this bill on OLIS. Have including an LFO recommendation memo within which I've recommended that Senate Bill 87 be moved to the Ways and Means full committee.
The motion?
Senate Bill 87A. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 87A be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gomberg has moved that the Senate Bill 87 be moved to the full committee with due pass recommendations. Discussions? Any objections? Motion carries. Thank you.
Carrier.
So do we have any volunteer carriers?
Gomberg looks like he's volunteering.
All right. So we have...
I'll take it to full, and I'll take it to the House, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay, so we have Senator DeBoer going for the Senate, and Representative Gomberg is going to do the full-blown deal. He's the House and to the full.
Always happy to volunteer, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
And we're done. So,
Mr. Chairman, could after you close this hearing, could I respectfully ask for a very brief recess?
And we are... Okay, and we're back. Would like to thank big co-chair for joining us, Representative Nancy Nathan. Thank you.
He's the chair.
And I'll turn it back over to LFO. We're going to reconvene with HB 5018, Oregon State Library. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the subcommittee, we left off with the LFO recommendation for House Bill 5018, which is the budget for the state library. And so LFO is recommending a 2017-19 total funds budget of $15,994,651, 42 positions, and 40.04 FTE. That does include two reduction packages from the current service level to meet targeted reductions for due to budget constraints.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll repeat my motion, which is to move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5018.
Representative Gomberg has moved the LFO recommendations to HB 5018. Discussion? Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will vote yes on this, but I will add to my wish list the Ready to Read program, and hopefully we can find funding. And I think it's a great program, so, but we do need to pass on and move on.
Thank you. Big co-chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to assure the senator that the co-chair has heard you.
Thank you. I think that that is a consensus for the most part, or around the membership here with regards to the ready or early reading program. I think it's a very valuable tool for our communities. Further discussion. Representative Marsh.
Sure. I would just remind all of us of the time a couple of months ago, perhaps by now, when we had representation of the Ready to Read program from the number of librarians who find it useful and in working with both families and toddlers. So I would note that it's not only on the wish list, it should be very near the top of that wish list.
Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Chair Manning. Yes, I found the librarians compelling as well. The Ready to Read program is a remarkable piece of work that that would be sorely missed if, in fact, it slipped away. I hope to God it doesn't. I really hope that it doesn't. We're in an awkward situation where we've got a deficit that is just decimating the budgets and cutting a lot of really important programs. The glimmer of hope is that before we get out of here, there will be a reconciliation bill. There's the opportunity to do some add-backs. I think that that we need to pass this budget today, and we need to be very clear that we would like to see Ready to Read discussed at least one more time before we leave the building in July.
Thank you, Representative Gomberg. Further discussion? No further discussion. Any objections? No objections? Motion carries.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, the second item is the key performance measures for the state library. Last session, the state library was directed to review their key performance measures and come back with proposals for new ones and to make sure that their existing ones aligned with their mission and goals. And so if you go through the key performance measure report that is listed on OLIS, I want to note that the first six that are listed there, 1, 4, 7, 11, 13, and 14, are ones that they had previously that they are keeping. The first KPM, we are recommending that they review and determine if it really is the best measure to evaluate the outcomes for their government research staff. And we did reduce the target from 12,000 to 9,000. And that's in anticipation of them refining the definition of what a research transaction actually is. The following two, 15 and 16, are new ones that we are recommending be adopted. The first is use of government services electronic resources. And the second one is the percentage of public libraries that are meeting applicable Oregon Library Association standards. And then finally, the final eight there are proposed to be deleted, and we're going ahead and recommending that those are deleted. I do want to note that of those eight, though, three of them, the library is still tracking that information and reporting it biennially in a report that was required statutorily for them. So.
Okay. Question.
Thank you.
Senator?
Yes. I'm sorry that I missed the formal presentation of your budget. I just wasn't able to be here. But when I hear the professional staff talk about a need to define what research transaction is, we've been talking about this for 6 years. I don't know when that definition comes. I don't know why this is so difficult. I don't get it. And I would like the state librarian, if you would indulge me, Mr. Chair, to put on the record when we can expect that work to be done. This is something that I have been grinding on for at least 3 biennia. And I just don't know why it is taking so long. As far as key performance measures, I struggle with this piece of performance. And I would be most appreciative if we could get this on the record.
Madam Librarian.
Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mary Kay Dahlgreen. This will be completely taken care of by the time we meet again in 2019.
2019, that's almost a decade to get this done. I think this is just shameful in terms of performance. And colleagues that are new to this process, what this goes back to is that, in my opinion, there was abuse of this function at the library. And it has simply eluded management's ability to get their arms around it. And I just want to state how profoundly disappointed I am that we're back here again having this same conversation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Librarian. All right.
So, Mr. Chair, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the proposed key performance measures and targets with the instruction that the agency review key performance measure number one to determine if it's the appropriate outcome for measure for services or propose a new measure.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Representative Gomberg moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I cannot associate an affirmative vote given my level of disappointment on this. So regrettably, I'm a no.
Okay.
And I'll join the senator.
Okay. Are there others that are in opposition? We have so far, we have Senator Johnson and Representative Ehrman. No others? Motion passed. Okay, next.
So, Mr. Chair, LFO recommends a budget of $3,862,134 general fund, $6,855,645 other funds, $5,276,872 federal funds, and 42 positions, 40.04 FTE, which is reflected in the -2 amendment.
Okay, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of the -2 amendments to House Bill 5018.
Representative Gomberg moved the adoption of the -2 amendments to HB 5018. Discussion? Objections? Motion carries. The co-chair will be carrier.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have to move the final bill.
Oh, we have one more. We've been moving stuff. Let's move on then. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, LFO recommends that House Bill 5018, as amended by the -2 amendment, be moved to the full, to the Ways and Means full committee.
Representative Gomberg.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to bring us home and move 5018 as amended to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Gomberg moved HB 5018 as amended to the full committee with do pass recommendation. Discussion to the motion. Representative Nehrman.
Thank you, Senator. I'll be a no on this bill. I think not based so much on the performance of the agency, but just based on the fact that I think we need to, in this age of the internet, we need to reevaluate how the Oregon State Library fits in with the Secretary of State's office and the Oregon State Archives, and maybe there's some cost savings there. So that'll be what my no vote reflects. And I'll note also that it's kind of a hard statement for me to make, as my son-in-law works for the Oregon State Library, and I have to sit next to Representative Nathanson and say that, and that makes it harder. So anyway, but I will be a no vote on this bill.
Okay. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, just to share with a colleague, we've been having the same discussion, and it was always painful when the librarian chaired this committee. But we have spent I don't know how many untold hours trying to figure out how to cure 100 years of tradition unhampered by progress. And it hasn't gotten better. I am supporting this not as a validation of my satisfaction with the performance of the library, but more to just continue to move the process forward given the lateness of the session. But been there, done that, have the T-shirt representative. This doesn't get better.
Okay. So we have Representative Nierman as a nay.
I'm going to support it, but not enthusiastically.
Okay. So any further discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, in addition to the other reasons we've discussed, I'm going to support this budget in order to provide some economic security for Representative Nierman's extended family.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Marsh?
He's a smart kid. It'd
be okay. No further. Okay.
Oh, cool.
So what we have, the chair will carry to the full, to the House.
Certainly. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'd be a bad choice on the Senate side.
I'm looking over your shoulder. I'm looking at Senator DeBoer.
Sure.
Okay.
So
is he
going to do full committee and Senate?
Yep. Okay. And the motion carries. And we will be closing out the work session on SB 87A related to quality management services for information technology and initiatives. Are there any further business to the committee today? No further business? Are we, what are we looking like on Monday? Are we?
I don't.
Canceled on Monday.
Yeah. We canceled on Monday. So there is no general government on Monday.
I do not believe so.
Okay. So with that in mind, we are going to adjourn and we will be reconvening on Tuesday next week, 1500 hours, 3 o'clock civilian time, and we are adjourned. 3 o'clock civilian time, and we are adjourned.